Now, hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor again and high five them, and I want you to tell them, welcome in the house of the Lord. We can never overdo that. He has been faithful. He has been good to us. He has protected us. The devil would have killed us this week, but God is faithful. Amen. Glory, glory, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm really delightful to the Lord for what he has done. God is faithful. He is awesome. He is faithful. He directs his own children. He protects us even when we are asleep. He sends his angels to keep watch and guard over us. He gives us new ideas. He is taking care of us every single day. Praise the Lord. And I'm excited for the Lord for what he has done. Amen. Amen. Now, if you have a child here in the house, please make sure that you sit next to your child, and so that everybody can be attentive to what the Lord is going to speak today. Amen. Please take care of them. Don't let them run around. Usually that door is open, and so if you let them go out while people are listening to the word, we may not even know where they are. But do you want to do something? Okay, praise the Lord. I want you to open up your Bibles in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. I believe everybody knows where Genesis is. It is a fast book of the Bible. Amen. We want to go to the beginnings. Amen. Genesis chapter number 1, and I will read verse number 26, and then I'll read also verse number 27. The Bible says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And verse number 27, the Bible says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them." And I would like you to quickly turn into the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 1, verse number 5. And I would ask somebody to read it. If you have it, can you say amen? Jeremiah, chapter number 1, verse number 5. Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 5. Somebody found it? Can you say amen? You've found it? Okay. Amen. "For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the text that we have read, Lord, there are some gems, O Lord, that need to be extracted. I pray that you shall travel with us, Lord, through these golden verses that have been written in this wonderful book. And so that, Father God, we can fish out from your heart something that we need, something that will push us to the next level. I pray that you shall take my mouth, Lord, and use it as a mouthpiece to deliver your goods to your people. Thank you, Father, for the meal that is set before us, Lord, as we sit down and as we eat together. I pray that we shall be satisfied. There's somebody, Lord, out there in this congregation who needs an answer to a question. Something throbbing in their hearts, Lord. They don't even know whether to look on the left, whether to look on the right, Father. But you, oh God, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the author of life. You are A to Z, Father. You are in between A and Z, Lord. You orchestrate the affairs of this universe, Father. You know everything. You don't need to learn anything, oh God. I pray that at the end of this service, somebody will hold on something, even as they go into the marketplace and say, behold, I was with God today. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I humble myself unto you, O God. Be thou exalted in my life, in the name of Jesus. And come and speak to us, O God, only way you can, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, everybody who loves him, say amen. Amen. Now, the book of Genesis is a scripture that every one of you know. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you might be wondering, okay, Pastor, of all the scriptures you had to read Genesis chapter 1, I know there are people who have already maybe written me off, you know, because this is just a common scripture. So what are you going to say about that? But you know what? I am really, really challenged by the Lord because he has been taking me back to the beginnings. When God saved each one of us, you remember the fire, you remember the vibrance, you remember, you actually can recall the day like it was today. Exactly what happened, who preached, the preacher who was ministering the word of the Lord. And you can remember the things that you've done for the Lord. You can look back and say, some of us can look back and say, were it not for the Lord, I would never be where I am today. I don't know how many of you can really look down critically into their lives. From the time you are in the doldrums of Africa when you didn't have nothing at all. And now you are at a place whereby you can, you know, your personality commands respect. And you can look back and when you look back, you can only be wowed by how the Lord has brought you up. How many of you can do that? You know, when you're in the thickest of trouble, when you're poor, when you could not even manage, when your personality could be hidden among the poorest of the poorest and you didn't have no ID. But God took you by his hand, even though you may have not experienced it, physically. But when you look back, you're able to see the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. I had that opportunity this week and I was looking back and I was just looking back into where the Lord has plucked me from. And I was remembering experiences, things that I had done back, just to make it in life. And when I looked into everything that I've gone through, I would not attribute it to my own strength. I would not attribute it to my own doing. But I saw the hand of the Lord in all those things. I remembered, like a day when it was raining so heavily and I was in Kisii, Kenya. And I had a car that, those cars that you see and you wonder whether it's going to make it from point A to B. And I would go from one town to another trying to harvest pineapples from people's gardens. And I was coming and it is in the thickest of rain. And it was just God who sustained that car to make it all the way from Kisii, Kenya to Nakuru, Kenya. And when I looked at all that, when I looked at the dust that hit me and I looked at the things that I've gone through and I looked at the things that I've done for the Lord and I looked back and where I am right now, I was able to say, God, you are awesome. You're wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the sound mind that you've given me. I would have gone crazy years ago, but I'm still having a sound mind. Praise be to God. I would not be here, church. Some of us, let me tell you, for some of us, you would not be here were it not for the hand of the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. He has sustained you. He has taken care of you. It doesn't matter what people spoke about you. You're still here. Oh my God. You're still surviving. You're still breathing. And you're still healthy. God, my God. For some of us, you can't even remember the last time that you visited a hospital. You know? God has sustained us. From nothingness to where I am. As a matter of fact, I think God wanted to prove a point the other day. I'm just driving, you know, to the place where God, you know, blessed us the other day. Out of nowhere, you know, I was just driving and, you know, it's the way you can drive, you know. And I just saw a policeman, you know, just by the side of the road. And, you know, you just do your business. I was not even speeding, you know. And I saw this policeman just turn and he was following me. And I mean, well, I thought maybe he was going his way, and I was just driving the normal speed limit. And when I turned, he turned, and I wondered, what did I do wrong? You know, I look at my registration, the car was registered. You know, those are the things that you just check on, you know, when a policeman, you feel like he's following you. And I was not in a big rig, so I didn't care the less that he would come and check on my logs. And, you know, I'm making a left, and he's making a left, and I wonder, what is wrong? What did I do? And so I'm pulling up to my house, you know, to the place where I am. And I'm getting into my house and the policeman pulls behind me and I'm like, what's going on? So I was almost going to ask him, sir, what did I do? Did I do something wrong, or do you want to come in for a cup of tea, or what's going on? But the man just stood up there and for a few minutes, and I went and peeped on the window to see whether he's still there. And he drove off. And I wondered why he did that. And I realized, maybe he saw something in me that didn't match where I am. You know? He didn't match, you know, because where I am right now, or the place, my neighborhood is filled up thing with the people who are classy, or people who have, you know, they seem like to have it together. And the Lord was telling me, this is exactly what the Lord ministered to me later. The policeman has no problem. But God is pushing you to a place whereby even people will wonder what you're doing in this area. Actually, myself, I'm mesmerized what God is doing. Your God is going to put you to a place whereby the things that you're going to be involved in, people are going to wonder, how come you are doing those things? God is going to connect you with men so that when they see you with them, they will think that those people are out of their mind hanging out with you. But something that they do not know is that there is a greater person living inside of Jesus. There's one who is greater living and inhabiting inside of you, that they may not even understand it, because God is getting ready to link you up with favor and greatness in the name of Jesus. I refuse, let me tell you guys, I refuse for anybody to put a limit on my life. I refuse for anybody to put a limitation that to tell me, just because you look like this, you cannot achieve this. It doesn't matter whether it has been written in the books. It doesn't matter whether it has been recorded somewhere. But as long as I am serving Jehovah, as long as I am serving the King of Kings, I know no limit. This morning I'm calling for somebody I call a lawbreaker. Somebody say a lawbreaker. You know, there are so those things that are expected, the natural things that are expected. You know, when you look at somebody, and you can actually critically finalize their whole life. I look at Ben and you say, okay, Ben looks like this. He might be having a wife who looks like this. He might be living in a certain area. He might be doing this kind of a job. Because this is what we see. Listen, guys, I've been studying the book of Samuel. And when Samuel was getting ready to go and anoint one of the sons of Jesse, he went there and he called them together. And when Samuel, the prophet, by the way, he was a prophet of God, and he calls these sons and lines them up, and Jesse, the father, called, of course, Eliab, the firstborn. And in Samuel's mind, when he saw Eliab, you know what he said? The Bible says, there goes the anointed of the Lord. Because this is what we see. You know, let me tell you, the nation of Israel pleaded to elect a king just because they were not contented with what Samuel was doing. And say, we need a king like other nations are being ruled by kings. And you know what? Saul came. He was a tall. The Bible says that he was tall all the way from shoulder up high. There was no one who was taller than him. No one who was more handsome like than him. And he said, that's the man that we want. Why? Because they were looking at the external features. And so Samuel lines up the sons of Jesse. And when he looked at Eliab, he was a handsome and he was a macho guy. And he saw it, said, behold, the anointed of the Lord. And the Lord had to come down and tell him, what did you say? Excuse me? No, not too fast, not too fast. See, this is a problem. The problem of men, and this is my problem too, your problem too, is that we are able to look at the at anything externally. You know, we are able to look at a person and we are able to make conclusions of who they are and where they come from, and we are able to dismiss them or accept them depending on how we look at them. But the Bible says in the book of Samuel that God does not look at the external features or the external things like, you know, that what man does. Rather, the Lord looks at the heart. Somebody listen to me this morning. The Lord is able to look at the heart. And I hear this morning, I'm going somewhere this morning. I hear somebody, you came into this land and you've been looking down on yourself. And you've been looking at the jobs that you've been doing. You've been looking at the connections you've had. You've looking at your friends. And when you look at the future, you don't see anything. It is blurry because of where you are, the position where you are. And that one has caused you to stagnate and not move ahead just because of the way you look yourself to be. You've looked at yourself and everything that you've done. You looked at your mind. You looked at your performance in school and how you did in school and what people called you. And you've come up to a conclusion that, you know, my life is just going to be going to this job and coming to this work and going back to that job. Oh, God, they're threatening to fire me and I may have to go to the similar job. Listen, church. God has a wonderful plan for you. God has a wonderful plan for you. Greater plan than what you think right now. God has a better plan, greater than what you think right now. Okay, I'll repeat it again to this side. Maybe they can respond. God has a better plan, greater than what you're thinking right now. Okay, I'll talk to the folks at the back. God has a better plan, greater than what you're thinking right now. Listen, church, when God created man in the Garden of Eden, he said, God created, he is the Elohim. God created God. God creating, he has the power to create, to think, to create things, to form things out of nothing. And so he created the earth. He has the ability within himself to speak things that are not and they are. And so on verse number 26, as we read, he said, and now they came together and said, let us now create man in our own image and after our own likeness. And so in other words, God said, you all know that God exists as a spirit. He has not manifested physically. He slashed a little bit of himself and said, it is time to throw a little piece of my non-physical being to be manifested into a physical body to live in there so that it can occupy the earth and dominate. And the Bible called him a ruler and gave him name Adam and Eve. In reality, what you are a piece of God that has been thrown out into this earth, a physical being moving in a body, but you have every attribute that God has. Are you listening to me? You have every attribute that God has. But you're living here on earth. And the Bible also tells me in the book of Jeremiah. He says that before I formed you in your mama's womb, before your mother and your daddy planned to bring you on this earth, I knew you. Glory, my God. If we do not read anything else and we just read that and contemplate about it and just ruminate on it, we go home and we can be satisfied. Because in reality, your birth date is not actually your date when you existed. The Bible says that God knew you even before you were formed in the womb of your mother. In other words, you existed somewhere within the loins of God, and a time came, he said, no, I have to eject you out so that you can go inhabit the earth. And so he sliced a little bit of himself and threw it out into the earth. And so it doesn't matter you were born in Africa. It doesn't matter that people are born in India in the depths of poverty. It doesn't matter where the people where you are born. It doesn't even matter where your daddy, who your daddy was. It doesn't even matter how you came here on earth. The fact is that you existed somewhere in God, and that makes you important. That makes your life valuable. That makes your life alive. That is, if you can just get connected with God, it makes you to have a life that is to have a life without any limits. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. When God put you together, He gave you something very special called a mind. Somebody say a mind. Your mind has a creative ability to do certain things that if only you can expose yourself to the things that God wants you to launch you over, you'd even actually be mesmerized at how far God can take you. But the only thing, that we have a few enemies that we have to recognize and deal with. And the first enemy that I want to deal with is ourselves. We are the enemy of ourselves. Because why? Why do you think other people achieve so high in life and other people don't achieve, and other people are in a certain situation? It could be, and it could be, I don't know, that that's how it was meant. I don't know. But it also could be it is because we have not really exposed or have had the opportunity to recognize the kind of a person we are. Praise be to God. Because when a child of God recognizes that his mind has a creative ability, that we have the same DNA as the now God created the earth God, the God who put everything together. If you know that, you know, he infused his DNA in us. Child of God, listen. Your life will have no limits. Your life will have no limits. And in the Bible, we know of people who looked at themselves and they could not even believe that they had what it took. But when God looked at them, God saw the mighty power that was invested in them. And that man was Gideon. You remember Gideon? The Bible talks about Gideon, that he was threshing wheat on the floor. And he was hiding actually because he was scared that he would be killed. And when an angel showed up to talk to Gideon, do you know what he said? What did Gideon say? Gideon said, you know what? You ought to know what Gideon said, because I know some of us here have said those things in your heart even though you've never verbalized them. Oh, look at me. I'm from the least. You know, my tribe is the least in Manasseh. You know, I mean, I don't even have anything. I don't even have any capability. But when God looks at Gideon, he called him, "Thou mighty man of valor, rise up." There is a mightiness in us that can go do out things that are without a limit if we can exercise it. God looked at Gideon, and when he looked at him, irrespective of how he had looked upon himself, he came up through his angel to encourage him and to tell him that I see greatness in you. I see a warrior in you. I see things that you can do for me that you have not seen yet before. And I'm on trip to tell God, I want you to show me things that I don't know about me, so that when I know them and when I get connected to them, I can rise up and launch out into the deep in the assault of the enemy's camp. In the name of Jesus. And as we saw, Gideon's life was transformed just because of that word that came from the Lord. He looked down on himself. It has become a natural law whereby when, you know, the people you hang up with, you know, you look at them and some of them are doing just, you know, just as you are doing. And so, you know, you are comfortable. You're in a comfort level because those people that you hang out with are doing almost the same things that you do. And the things that you hear them that they plan to do, they're also planning. You're also planning to do the same things. So there's a kind of like a natural law that exists between the people you hang out with, that this is exactly how you're going to be. But I'm calling out for a lawbreaker, somebody who is going to get out of the box, somebody who is going to believe God for big things, somebody who is going to say, I dare God to come and come through for me in this situation. And I believe, and I tell you the truth, God is going to come through for you. It's not going to be without a fight. It is not going to be without a fight. Let me tell you, it got to a point whereby when I pursue a dream, there's always a fight. And I know the enemy wants to stop me. And I told God, God, the instrument that I have right now, whatever I hold in my hand, I was telling another sister, I was telling her, you know what, it got to a point when I was looking for money and I didn't, the money was coming loose. And I told God, God, this truck is no longer a truck. I don't see it as a truck anymore, but I see it as a stick of Moses. God, from this day, I declare in your holy presence that this truck is no longer a truck, but it is a stick of Moses. Because Moses had the shepherd's stick. But not, it was not ordinary shepherd's stick. Because why, how do I know that? When he showed up in Pharaoh, what happened? It became a serpent and swallowed all the serpents of Pharaoh. It was a source of blessing. It was the source of the miracles that God performed throughout the land of Egypt. So what are you holding in your hand? Do not despise what you're holding. It might be a job that you've despised for too long a time. And God wants to test you in the little beginnings. And you've despised and complained every single day. You come back home and you're tired. And you're complaining about that boss, about that supervisor, about these other people. Come on, loud church, listen to me. Begin to tell God that this job that I hold in my hand, use it as a Moses stick. And you will see what God will do. God can use that job to connect you up with divine purposes. God will see your humility. God will see your obedience. God will see what you're doing with that job, doing it as he would. And God will begin to minister to you. Do not despise what you have, church. And so along the way, I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'll never forget. I'm trying to get this money and I'm trying to run to this point. And I'm trying to go to this point. And just about when my miracle is just about to break loose, I was just gonna get connected with a pretty plain good load, man. That one of the loads I've never had before. This policeman from Tulsa. Oh, policemen. I love policemen because they're God instituted. But sometimes also the devil can use them. He came and flagged me. Listen, I don't break, you know, when I'm on the road, I'm careful because I can kill somebody, you know, by my misjudgment or anything. So I'm very, pretty conscious about what I do. And so I was just doing normal. And this policeman come and flags me out of so many units that are on the road. And he said, you know what, pull over. I want to inspect you. And I say, oh, God. I only have 30 minutes to go to get to this super load that I get, and this is now. this is exactly where the miracle God is wanting to use. And I hope this guy just inspects me and let me go. So he came and, you know, he did what they do, you know, turn your lights on and, you know, flashes, you know, wipers, everything was working. And he told me, you don't seem like you've been running, so it looks like you've been doing some illegal business in your truck. What have you been doing? It doesn't seem like you've been running. And I said in my heart, what business do you have to know what I do? Your job is to come in and do your job, inspect me, and let me go. And the guy was really insistent. He said, you know, I need your permission to get into your unit to see whether you have drugs in there. And I said, no way. You can't get, this is like my home. You can't even get there. That's why I call upon my God. So you cannot even get there. You cannot. I don't give you no permission. You have to have a warrant from the judge. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you have to speak out to have to know things. You don't just let everybody get into your closet. You don't get somebody to stumble on the altar that you have raised up to talk to your God. I don't allow anybody to just mess up with the place where I call God on my behalf and on behalf of the sheep that God has put on my side. No, I said, no, you can't even get in there. And the guy was so mad, he really got so mad, and he called some other units, and they said, this guy is not cooperating. It seems like he's doing some illegal business because it doesn't seem like he's working so hard. And we cut a long story short, he had to call the K-9s. Let me tell you, what I thought was about to be 30 minutes, it lasted for about 5 hours. This guy's holding me there, and I was inside of me, I'll say, devil, I know this is you now. I don't have even to have any evidence that it's you trying to shortchange my blessing. And I called my wife and we prayed over the phone. And we used all the prayer language you can all you can ever imagine to amass. And I binded, you know, I bound all the kingdoms of the enemy. Let me tell you, church, while we were still praying, the Lord came and he spoke a word through my wife and he said, I can accomplish much through little for those that I love. I can accomplish much through little purity for those that I love. Sometimes we are working so hard and we are trying to push it and we are trying, but God says that he can accomplish much in your life, Brother K, through little. God doesn't need a multitude, you know, he doesn't need to have a greater multitude in order for anything to be accomplished here, even in this place. Even in your life, whatever you have, all you need to do is get connected to the actual thing that God wants you to get connected on. And you know, man, from that time I relaxed. And I can tell you the truth before the Lord that from that point, I was angry and agonized many hours over why this guy did this to me. But it was for a reason, not to trust upon my own flesh. Not to trust upon the things that I think this is. You know, there's a time you say, okay, I'm going to walk three doubles and I'm going to walk three triples because you have a goal. It's good to plan like that. But I want you to know, if you're a child of God, let God take care of your job. Because let me tell you, you can have $1,000 and God can stretch it in such a way so that, you know what? He can curb your car from breaking down, no leaks in the house, AC working correctly, your car not breaking down. Just because you have 1,000. And you can have somebody who has 3,000 and he did way worse than the person who had that 1,000. How many of you believe with me? How many of you have experienced that? Yeah? I had 5,000. Where is the 5,000 gone? Within 1 week, it is gone. But somebody who has 1,000 accomplishes much because God can stretch it. Somebody say stretch. I'm calling for a lawbreaker. Somebody who is going to go beyond the normal. Somebody who is going to go beyond the natural things that are known by men. Somebody who is willing to break out. Glory be to Jesus. Somebody who, look at Job. Job was inflicted with the disease. And he looked like everything was going to be, it's done. You know, my life is done. My children are gone. Everything, my livestock, everything is gone. But Job, later, he looked back. At all, he has gone back. He has gone through. What did the Bible say? What did God do to Job? He blessed him double. For everything that he had, he blessed him double. So, church, listen to me. I wish you can listen to me. God, help me. Let us not be myopic. By this I mean, do not look at this, the natural, the now circumstances that are holding you, because God is looking you at a big picture. Some of us, God is holding you here for a reason. So that when you get to point B, you'll be able to look back and you'll be able to see that impediment. You say, I thank God that God had to bring me to a stop. Because if I continued, then I would never be where I am. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? So do not look at the current situation right now and it obsesses you and it distracts you and you're now calling everybody to complain about how God has been unfaithful. God is doing something in your life. If you have never been told by anybody, God is working something out. And at the end of the day, when he blesses you, people will come and say, what did you do? But you know the story behind the glory. You know the impediments that you hit on the road. When you hit a bump on the road, you will look and say, I thank God for that bump. For why not for that bump? I would never be where I am today. Do not be a myopic, because God looks at the big picture. Sometimes he's working on your character. Sometimes he's working on your attitude. Oh, am I speaking to somebody? Sometimes God is speaking at the way you're looking at the thing. Let me tell you. And I'm sorry if I'm boring you telling me about what God did to me. When I hit so many impediments and bumps on the road while trying to buy a home. Let me tell you, I wished 1,000 times and I complained before the Lord, God, why did you allow my house to be bought the first one? Because I don't have to be going through all these things. You know? Have you been at a place whereby the things that you're going through, you are so blessed and you're okay, doing okay in your comfort zone, but now you wonder, why did I have to come up all this way, experiencing all this hatred, experiencing all these heartaches, experiencing all this financial difficulty, for what reason? And I said, God, had I known, I would not even have sold my home. But God had to cause it to sell within 3 days, because if it stayed for 1 month, I would not be where I am today. I am telling you the truth. I would have said, no, cancel. I don't want it. I don't want it. Because everything. Now, listen to church. Listen. When I stand before you, I stand here with a lot of humility. Because I know there are some of you that are well educated than me. You know? There are some of you, I'm not saying all of you, some of you have a well financial portfolio than I am. And some of you whose credit score is in the 800s and you don't talk to anybody, you know. But I know some of you, I didn't say all of you, some of you. And there are some of you who have gotten it all together. Some of you also, some of you have their families, you know. You've been able to cross the T and put a dot on the I. Everything is working out fine. So I stand here in humility. You know, why not for the anointing? I would feel that I would not even be worthy to stand before you. Because there are some of you who can preach better than me. There are some of you who are well educated and can organize their material very well. But I thank God. Because sometimes we don't have to have everything that is supposed to be had. You know, we don't have to have everything that is supposed to be had by everybody in order to make it in life. With a bad credit score. Huh? In the 500s, you know what I mean? In the 500s. I don't want to say in the upper or the lower. Because I know some of you may be having the force. May the Lord help you. In the 500s, not even having a financial background even to back it up. Judas is my witness. We went through this. God was able to use an organization to help me achieve what God had always intended to give me. In spite of a low credit score, in spite of not having a well put together financial portfolio like most of you. So what am I trying to say? There are some of you people have gone to school and you've made it, and when you remember the things that you had to go through, some of you, I know, even some of you are failed by people because they hated you. But did not give up with a baby. You know who I'm talking about. They went back to school and they dared God. God, if this blessing in my mind, it is worthy to fight for. This blessing, I have seen it in my mind. It is so clear. I have a mental image of it. And I am not letting it go. And let me tell you, God is not going to disappoint you. The Bible says that he is not going to withhold anything good for his children. And you are his child. He is not going to withhold anything good from you. Are you listening to me? So I dare you to be a dreamer. Glory be to Jesus. Look at Joseph. Joseph didn't have it all together. Joseph, you know, was a man among his brothers. He was despised. You know that? In fact, the best thing that Joseph had, the best thing that you would really brag that, you know, there are things that you have and you say, God has really blessed me. You know, I have this and I have this. Lord, I give you glory. I have this and I have this. And actually, this one doesn't have no debt. And I have this. And this one actually doesn't have debt, but I have this. It has debt, but I'm going to finish. The only thing that Joseph would brag about was the coat of many colors that his dad gave him. And he was despised by his brothers. He held on the dream. And he said, I have a dream within me. I cannot be, I'm unstopped. I know no limitations when I have a dream. And his brothers, his own brothers, organized to kill him. Can you imagine? He didn't have nothing. Didn't have anything. And his brothers, They sold him out to some Ishmaelites. And look at how the life of Joseph turned around. It doesn't matter that he didn't have bumps on the road. He had many bumps on the road, right? He had to go to prison. But look at the end of the day. Was he not the ruler actually who came to rescue his brothers? Do not look down on yourself. It doesn't matter you're 5'8 or you're 4'5. It doesn't matter. People have been telling you, why did you not? Why were you born in that family? Because you're not. Your brothers are tall and you're so small and short. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter whether you have a big tummy, whether you don't have a tummy at all. It doesn't matter whether you are dark, whether you are white, whether what color you are. As long as God, you are a child of God, you have a created mind with God. You have a created mind. Do not let anybody put limitations on you. As long as you have a mental picture of where you're going, as long as you have a mental picture of what you want to have, cling on it. Cling on it. Whether they say no, whether they say your credit score is bad, tell them, I still believe it. I still believe on my God. What can I do to improve it? What can I do so that I can put everything together? Do not give up. That's my message to you. Do not give up. They have been looking down on your place of work. Actually, they've been... Did you hear the message we were being told the other day by Sister Catherine about that prophet who was beating the donkey? You know? What was it? Balaam and Balak? The children of Israel, actually. These people, this prophet, I don't know whether to call them false prophets, they were planning to curse the nation of Israel without even them knowing. They were going about their businesses, going to the temple, feeding their families, but there, behind their scenes, there are people who want to pronounce a curse on them. I'm here to announce to you that not everybody is for you. There are people who are looking down for your downfall. Are you listening to me, church? Sister Joyce, are you listening to me? There are people behind the scenes, people that you do not know. Sister Mommy, are you listening to me, my sister? There are people behind the scenes working out for your downfall. But God is Jehovah, because he is not going to allow anybody to pronounce a curse, because you've been blessed from the beginning. And God says that I either bless them, no one can pronounce a curse upon them. I'm telling you that you have a creative mind. What can you see? What can you see? You've been in America now for 20 years. What is it? You know, it's not gone. Age is just a number. Somebody say age is a number. You just celebrated your 47th birthday. Hello? And you're saying, oh, God, is there going to be a man that is going to come towards me? And I know we don't have single sisters here, so that's why I'm saying it. We don't have any single brothers in here. You've clocked almost, you're going to 50. And every time you think about it, your heart jumps. Oh, boy, mother, JD, will I ever see somebody? You know, you don't even want to you don't even want to go to any marriage seminars. You don't even want to think about married people, because every time you think about it, will I get somebody? Age is a number. Somebody say age is a number. Yeah, God can come anytime and he'll bring Mr. Right. When people look at you, they wonder, God, where did this man come from? Where did this woman come from? My God, ain't God great? Because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek the Lord. At 80, Joshua was sent out in the camp of the enemy. And you know what Joshua said? At 80, he felt like he was what? 40. So you know what I'm feeling right now? Like I'm a teenager. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, there's a song they used to sing, 40 years, I'm still teenager. You remember that song? They used to say, 30 years, I'm still teenager. 40 years, I'm still teenager. You know what I'm feeling? I'm still teenager. And if you want to know what I mean, you ask Mama Ron. That's Catherine. I'm still a teenager. I mean, by the way, I mow the lawn and, you know, do the things in the house. That's what I meant. What did you think? Oh, my God. This Empowerment Christian Center. I'm talking about fixing my fence, you know, mowing the lawn, doing the dishes, helping her in the house. That's not true purity. Yeah, she says even purity agrees with me. I'm still a teenager. Age is a number. Are you listening to me? I know I'm in trouble right now. But age is a number. Look at Samson. Samson was a lawbreaker. He did not, you know, even when his eyes were gouged out and he could not even see, he allowed only a single length of his hair to grow. And God is saying, you know what? These people have made a humiliation of me. And I'm going to go against the grain. Praise be to God. What is it that you can see? You need to be a lawbreaker. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They loved God so much. They loved him. And King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to put them in a fiery furnace. Are you listening to me? But he looked at the fiery furnace and said, you know what? I am going to dare get into this fire. Because I know in my mind that when you get into a fire, what the fire would do to you. The fire would consume you. But because I know God too much, and I have a big picture of who he is, and I have a big picture of what he can do for me, and I have a big picture of what he has done for me, I'm going to step up in the fire. Even though I know in my mind that it can burn me. That's what I'm calling a lawbreaker. Daring the impossible. Daring what people would not. Getting in the territory of the few. Are you listening to me? If you want to go somewhere, you have to separate. Let me tell you, there's a saying in our language that says, if you, whatever group of people you team up with, you end up becoming like them. We have to switch. Let me tell you, we are coming at a point whereby the people that you thought that were ignoble, people that didn't have any sense of abode, those people, God is going to work, is working something in them, and sooner or later, you're going to see them on the pulpit. And the people that you think that have it all together, they are handsome and they have the charm and they have everything, they are going to go on the back. Are you listening to me? Because God is not a respecter of persons. God does not look at a person the way we view them and the way we look at them. Esteem everybody. Look at everybody. People have been neglected by the community. Do not also get into the bad wagon of neglecting them as well. Because you never know. You never might never know what God is doing with them. At night, talking to them and impounding some greatness in them. Are you listening to me? I value anybody. When you talk to people, you know, let me tell you, have you been into a church? Just because people know you, they come and they hug you. And because some people don't know, even know you, they don't, you know, they just say, oh, they greet you like this. Hello, Mariako. You know, oh, Julius, oh my God, it's been a long time. And we are, Pastor, have you not seen that? We are culprits of doing that. Value everybody. Because the person that you are passing like this might be the one who is holding your destiny. That person, get to know them. Get to know them. Hey, Pastor, what is your name? Where do you come from? My God, what are you doing? What do you do in Dallas? What is your name? What is everything about you? Get to know them. Do not ignore people. Do not look at them because they are old. You know, you might find an old man and everything. He has white hair, everything. I'm not saying that you're old. He is still a teenager. Okay. You're looking at them the way they are. Maybe their dental formula and you just say, oh, nah, get another bag here now. You know. Nah, dentist today. And you ignore them and then you're ignoring the blessing. Value everybody. Get somebody you've never known. Encourage them. You know what? Some people, you've been through a situation and God brought you out of that situation, and that person that you're passing is getting into the same situation that you have been in before. And so by passing them, by passing them, what you're doing actually, you're making them miss an opportunity. Because you can tell, oh, you know what, last week, I just graduated, Pastor. I just did this. I just bought whatever you are getting into. This is the things that you need. I have the phone number of the person that you can talk. Please call him and tell him that I refer you to them. See, what God has done, he has used that person to be a blessing to you. But because you bypassed them and you ignored them, so you are going now to Dallas looking for somebody, you know, what can I do on this? And then you have been sent to Fort Worth. You are going there now. You are going to Meridian, Mississippi. Now you are the one, now you are going everywhere trying to look for your help. And you could have found your help 2 weeks ago. God does not do things the way we do them. The Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. You can find answers in the least expected places. Do not assume anything. Anything God brings you is an opportunity. Explore it. Be filled with awe. Why do? Okay, This sister has been calling you, sister purity. Calling you. Oh, my sister, you know, I just want to have fellowship with you. There is a reason why that sister is calling you. It might be you are the source to her blessing, or she's going to be a source to a certain blessing in your life. Are you listening to me, church? I am just giving you a wise word of counsel. For God does not do things the way we do them. And you're going to find answers in the least expected places. Because you are God's. Are you listening to me? Oh God. Now listen. I want to talk to those who have talents and they have people who know that they have talents and they have the ability to do this. They can preach well. They can speak well, you know. They don't even have goosebumps when they stand before people. And you know, you have this, you exude a lot of confidence. You can be actually like an entertainer, you know. You can speak, I mean, you know, you know you are a thing. You know, you are in your element. Listen, when you know that you're gifted in a certain area, allow God to humble you in your gifting. Because what God really wants to use is not your gifting. Because your gifting is ready to take you to a place that you have been visualizing and have had a mental picture, but your attitude is not ready to handle that. Did you listen to me? If you know that you have a gifting of whatever area, or you are talented, or you have this ability to do certain things, your gift is not actually, God can use that gift, but he is not ready to use, he uses that gift in conjunction with certain attributes of your life. Are you listening to me? And that's why some of us, I included sometimes, I have missed opportunities because I thought, oh, you know, that guy doesn't preach better than I do, you know. And that's me telling myself, actually, I'm a judge of myself. And actually, maybe I preach worse, way worse than they do. Oh, that man is not even worth listening. Spirit of pride. See, I have the gifting, and the gifting wants to incorporate, God wants to incorporate that gift with a certain other attributes to take me to a place where he wants to take me, but I cannot go there alone by my gifting. Am I speaking to somebody? So we need to humble ourselves, and when God sees the humility, he will take that humility and your gifting, and he will take you to the place where you want to go. But you know what? Because you have a gifting and you've been really crying out and saying, okay, why don't I do this? Why don't I get this opportunity? Why is that? Why is it only so and so he gets that opportunity? When the boss comes, he calls so and so to speak other things and they don't even recognize my gift. The reason why God has been spotlighting you, he has been seeing pride that needs to be crushed. And the moment you deal with your pride issue, let me tell you, pride is not something, it's not an event. Hello? Pride is not an event that, you know, oh, I'm proud today, I'm proud, and then the next day I'm going to be humble. No. It is a lifestyle. You know, oh God, I don't even deserve this, Lord. God, you know what, Lord? How did you even bring me to be with these people? God, I don't even deserve it. Lord, receive the glory. When they say that I sang so well, when they say that I preached so well, when they say that I presented this other well in class, God, it is you, Lord. It is you, Lord. Receive the glory, Lord. You know, I'm just a nobody. I'm just a simple young boy from Africa. Lord, I don't deserve it. It's a lifestyle. And when you get used to doing those things, you see where God is going to shoot you. You'll be overtaking people. Boy. You will be looking like, hiya. What's going on? Yeah, you're going. You're going. Because of your humility. Somebody say humility. Humility. Don't think, you know, when you have the money in the bank and you have everything together, your business is doing well, or your job is doing well, you're recognized by your bosses, or, you know, everything you touch, you know, it blesses, you know, it prospers. That's how it's supposed to be. But listen to me, church. God wants to see the aspect of humility. When you've done so well in school and you're making the grades, you're a grade A student, give God the glory. Thank you, Lord. Why not for you? When the eyes of the Lord will be ringing throughout the earth, guess who they're going to land on? They're going to land on you, but not you if you refuse to humble yourself. But they're looking for somebody who has it all together, somebody who has humbled themselves. Oh, God, give you the glory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so when Samuel wants to anoint all the sons, he says, don't you have another son? Huh? I've gone through the list. And these look, according to my eyes, they look like they have it all together. Don't you have another one? Think about this. All the sons were there, but the one who is neglected most actually alikuwa ameambiwa aende akadishe. You know, that's the only job you could have done. Don't you have another son? And they had to go and call Joseph. Oh, David. And then when David showed up, someone looked at him and said, this is the one. Because I can see him in the fields. He's just dancing for the Lord. Oh, Jesus. He's just dancing. When he kills the bear, he said, God, why not for you? I'll never have killed this one. When he kills the lion, he says, God, I give you the glory. He is dancing in the field. That's the one that God is looking for. I tell you the truth. God will bring people even into our limelight and into our lives that you least expect. Do not chase them away. You know, you can seem to be welcoming them physically, but in your mind, you really thought you're saying, "Sasa, huwa nafanya nini hapa? Ananipotezea masa." Do you know have you not said that in your mind? Nobody knows, but God knows. Yes, brother. Hey, yeah, that's nice. So how is your parents doing? But in your mind, you just told them, katapul kwenda. Have you not done that? But those are the people God wants you to welcome into your lives because they have your blessing. Are you listening to me? You have a creative mind that God has given you. A creative mind God has given you. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. And finally, as we stand, can we all stand? Stand on our feet. This is a record breaking for me, finishing the service on time. Joel 2:25. The Bible says, the Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locust, the whooping locust, the stripping locust, and the cutting locust. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you because of your disobedience. So the Lord says, if you come to a point whereby you recognize the ability that you have, that I've given you to have a creative mind, if you come towards me and in humility and in readiness for me to use you, then I will restore back the ears that the locust ate for you. I'm the one who sent those locusts because of your disobedience, because of your attitudes. But now that you have come before me, now that you have restored yourself back to me, I will restore every ear. Somebody say amen. I will restore every ear that the creeping insects, that the locusts have eaten on your behalf. Glory be to Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, I just want to pray for every one of your children here. We stand here not perfect. We have many shortcomings, Lord. But even in spite of those shortcomings, you still love us. You love us, Lord. The Bible tells us that even while we were yet sinners, you sent Jesus to die for us. What manner of love this is. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us in this auditorium who have been reduced to a situation or a position by the way they feel about themselves. Who have been put to certain positions by the way people look at them. That God, they're going to turn around and look at you. You who is the author and the finisher of their faith. And they are going to dare you for the impossible. I declare that these people will be lawbreakers. Lawbreakers in a good way. Going against the grain, going against the commonality of how people view things and daring you for big things in the name of Jesus. We declare that no one shall be left behind in this church. I declare that we shall love one another. I declare that we shall be our brother's keeper in the name of Jesus. We shall not lose anyone to the assaults of the enemy. When one is hurt, when one is injured, we shall go back like the soldiers, like a big army in a war where they never leave their injured in the battlefield. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you give us the ability to nurse their wounds. They've been assaulted by the enemy.
that we shall love one another genuinely, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we shall esteem each other highly than ourselves, that we shall humble ourselves, oh God, that when your spotlighting comes, when your featuring effect comes in, we shall be ready in all attributes. We shall be humble and ready to roll, ready to be used by the mighty God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Empower them, Lord. Let no obstacle be a giant to any one of them. Let them have a spirit of Joshua, that even when he was old, he was saying, I know that people have said they were giants, but I see them as grasshoppers. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Fight their battles. Fight their battles in the name of Jesus. Prepare them in advance to be sensitive to know when the enemy jumps in to catapult them to the floor. I thank you, Lord, and I bless you. Father, if there be any one of them that needs a miracle, hallelujah. I feel in my spirit there might be somebody who might just want to come to the altar here. You feel in your heart that, you know what, I just want to surrender before the Lord. I'm not even going to pray for you. You just come to surrender before the Lord. Is there anyone? I just don't want to miss this opportunity. And as I felt impelled by the Spirit of the Lord, you can come over here if you want to. You know, you can come as a sign of surrender. You know, you have some things going on, and you want to surrender those things to the Lord. Is there anybody before I close? Yeah, come. I felt it. Yeah, I felt that there's some who really desire to come to the altar. Yes, come, lift up your hands. Lift up your hand. Whatever the case it is, lift it up before the Lord. Lift up your hands before the Lord as a sign of surrender. Lift up your hands as a sign of surrender. You're not coming to Pastor Tony. He can do nothing to you. He can do nothing for you. But you have come before the mighty God, to whom nothing is impossible. Lift up your hearts unto the Lord. Lift up your hearts. What is it? Is there anything that is so hard for God? Is there anything that is impossible before Him? Lift up your hearts to God right now. Church, begin to pray for them. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Intercede for them. Intercede for them in the name of Jesus. Father, touch them all the way you can. Touch them all the way you can. Touch them, Lord. Touch them all the way you can in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Touch them, my God. Touch them at the point of their needs in the name of Jesus. Touch them at the point of their needs in the name of Jesus. Touch them at the point of their needs, whatever it is. Touch them, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Touch them, Lord. Minister to them, Holy Spirit. Minister to them. Unveil mysteries for them. Oh God, beginning this day, Lord, begin to peel things like an onion on their lives, things that they have never seen, things they have never experienced. Begin to peel out things for them in the name of Jesus. I see some of them peeling like an onion, trying to discover new layers of life that they have never discovered, trying to see an answer. They've been looking for an answer, but the answer is just a prayer away in the name of Jesus. Touch them, Lord. Oh, touch them, Jesus. Holy Spirit of the living God, touch them. Touch them in a mighty way. Hallelujah. I want you to know, listen to me. As I stand here as a man of authority and a man that is anointed by God, as long as the Lord lives, I declare that God will begin to unveil His plan concerning your lives, each one of you, in the name of Jesus. Some of you have been looking for answers in the wrong places, but God will begin to direct you, to connect you with people who can genuinely help you in the name of Jesus. I saw like somebody peeling an onion, the layers of an onion. I don't know what that is, but I see some of you peeling layers and layers and layers and trying to discover what layer lies beyond this layer, what layer lies beyond this layer. It is like peeling an onion. God will begin to peel your onion. It will cause you to peel your onion in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You're blessed beyond measure. Father, I pray that you shall surround this by the hedge of protection. I cancel any assault by the devil in the name of Jesus. I paralyze every work of the enemy concerning these loved ones in the name of Jesus. Whatever aspirations they have, God, I pray that those aspirations will not be this frustrated in the name of Jesus. Give them a breakthrough. Give them a breakthrough. Give them a breakthrough. Give them a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. God, unveil your plan concerning their lives in the name of Jesus. 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 Devil, remove your hand from their lives in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can go and receive from the Lord. Expect from the Lord. You can go back, expect from the Lord. The Lord will do marvelous things in your lives, beginning today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless you. We magnify your name. I pray that this word will be seared in our spirits to the glory and the honor of your name. In Jesus' name. Somebody who loves him, say amen. Amen. Give Jesus a mighty hand clap offering as you sit down. Amen, amen, amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. What a word. God has spoken. Amen. The Bible says, let him who has an ear, hear to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. That was my message. Praise the Lord. God has spoken to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are created in his image and after his likeness. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a part of God in us. Thank you, Pastor, for the word.